What's up, everybody? I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. I hope Santa was great to you guys. I hope, yes. Brent, you stayed on the eating train and didn't go too far down that rabbit hole that people like to go down and gain 5 to 10 pounds over the holidays. We don't need any of that.
Stayed
even keel. Some bowl game season has started, you know, the other bowl games, you know, outside the playoff. And did you catch any of that Kansas State Rutgers game? Because I was literally watching at my daughter's basketball tournament, and we were out to eat that night. And I'm like, Rutgers is smashing Kansas State. And then all of a sudden it just flipped and Kansas State started scoring at will. And it was a 35-7 run to end the game.
Obviously, we have a rooting interest in that game, given that former player of yours, former friend of ours, Jack Fabris, plays for Kansas State. So I was watching that game and just thinking about looking at next year, they might have a top three QB running back combo coming back with Avery Johnson and the Edwards kid. Like,
okay. All right. This is great. I'm glad you said that. I haven't liked what I've seen from Avery Johnson this season. I think it was the Cheez-It Bowl. We saw him out of nowhere, and he looked, holy cow, like super athletic. But he did not take steps as a passer that I thought he would take. He's still the same athlete. Like, he's a dynamic athlete.
Really good athlete.
But, dude, Kansas State was so up and down this year and so all over the place, lacked consistency. I wouldn't be ready to pull the trigger and say that from watching Avery Johnson. I'm not buying him that much yet.
It's as much a function of what's coming back everywhere else as it is anything, because that list is not one. Now, one person who might be coming back, if they get their appeal, is Kyle McCord, who went and had 453 and 5 touchdowns for Syracuse to get a win in that game against Washington State.
Well, Pavia's coming back. And how about that, man? Like, every rule, and I'm going to get on a soapbox, and I had no clue this was coming, but like every rule that the NCAA makes and that they have instituted in the past, whatever, like go back a couple years, every rule screws high school football players. Every single rule. Like, they haven't made a good one yet, man. Like, every single thing they do. So now the new rule, just to give you some context, junior college players now, their eligibility doesn't count. So if you want to go to junior college for a couple years, develop again, it's kind of like a minor league program, then I can go to college, and then I can go to – and it doesn't count as my eligibility, but it has in the past always. It's always been a part of it. I love Steve Sarkisian, by the way. He talked about it. He's a guy who went JUCO, and he was like, that makes no sense to me. Because you might have some kids now that go to JUCO for 2 years, redshirt, come in. They might be 27, 28 years old. Like, I mean.
I agree that it hurts high school kids. Like, for me, you should get 5 years to play four unless you graduate. Like, to me, if you graduate on time and you want and they can get an extra year, I think that's how eligibility should work, and that's what you get. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But Pavia is coming back.
Pavia is coming back. He gets it more years. And listen, he's one of the most exciting players in all of college football. So, like, as a fan base and as a fan, you win. Like, you absolutely win. And then you had BYU just frying pan to the head of Colorado. Like, Colorado, Hunter's playing, Shador's playing. You think, like, BYU, the way they finished down the stretch, losing 3 of 5 or whatever it was, like, floundered, couldn't score. All of a sudden, they just destroy Colorado. That was a huge surprise to me. I thought Colorado would be ready to rock and roll. Bowl games, listen, you never know who's locked in and who's not. And, Brent, you never know who's going to play a full game in a bowl game. And sometimes just play a half. Like, that was mind-blowing to me. Now I sent it out on socials right away. I'm like, have we ever seen this before? And quickly got feedback, which was cool, because I really didn't know. But Malik Nabers last year sat out the second half of the bowl game. Somebody mentioned Kyle Trask possibly sitting out after a drive COVID in the second half. Yeah. And so, you know, it's obviously happened before, but listen, to be very, very clear, this does zero to affect Cam Ward's draft stock. Absolutely zero. Does it do zero to affect his teammates and the way they look at him in the future? No, that might change. Like that, everybody individually is going to have their own thought processes. I would have a really hard time, Brent, standing there on the sidelines of a game and watching my team lose. And I know, by the way, if I'm in the game, we win. Like, we're cooking. We're leading. We're up by, what were they up by? They were up by at least 10 at the half, right?
Yeah.
It was 10.
At a certain point, it was 10.
Winning, taking care of business, scoring 30 points, like doing whatever I want. And then I come out after halftime and I'm good. Like, I'm gonna grab some Gatorade, some Powerade. You guys got this. I'm going to chill.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, and they, you know, they likely had a plan going in. There was so much information, all the things that goes with that. But I'm deal with this because when in my profession as an academic, people leave, they go different, take different jobs, things like that. I always tell people, look, you're the president and CEO of U Inc. You have to do what's in the best interest of that business. And that was the decision in the, of the best interest of that business. Would I personally have done that? No, once I'm in kind of thing, but it's still, you know, the biggest thing, does it affect the draft? No,
no.
The NFL is like, great. He didn't get hurt. Yeah. And I thought he might be the number one pick, but now the Giants won today. So now I think the Patriots are in line to have the number one picks, and they're not taking a QB. So who knows? Well, but yeah, it doesn't affect draft. That's for sure.
Well, that's a good trade pick, by the way. If I'm the Patriots and I want to build, like, yeah. I'm absolutely trading out of that number one spot so somebody can come up to that number one spot. So we'll cover that when we get into the offseason because there'll be plenty to talk about. But I do think, yes, he broke the record. He broke the touchdown record in the first half, much like Malik Nabers, I think, broke a record a year ago. But I don't know. I thought, Brent, with NIL and this, some of this stuff tied to your playing and you being healthy. Now, listen, can you fudge it? Yeah. Can you say my hamstring hurts? Absolutely. Now, he didn't do that, which kudos. Like, he didn't lie. Mm-hmm. I mean, he told you the truth. He opted out in the second half, and Miami lost a game that they probably, I feel pretty confident they would have won that football game and would have taken care of business.
If you're a fan of Miami, though, I bet you're probably like, cool, I got to see my QB for next year. This guy gave me a great season. We won a bunch of games. It was fun to watch Cam Ward. It would have been nice to have been in the playoff kind of thing, and then you would have seen it full go, but we weren't. But it's not been like it's success galore. From Miami, and he brought a lot of success to them that they haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, you're also going, what the fudge is this for defense again and again, time after time, week after week? Yes. Like, at some point, Miami fans got to be like, let's just kick onsides.
I mean,
like, let's just kick onside kicks every time. I mean,
might as well
go for it on fourth. Like, this is awful. That, to have such a great all-time good offense. For him to break so many records, like, what a frustrating result and end of the year for Miami fans. Like, this could have been an elite year. Cause I'm just telling you, Cam Ward, stopping that dude is hard. Like, I love to watch tape and I love to go, this is what I would do. And this is how I would beat them. And for example, like we're going to do against some of these teams this week. And this is what I would do to match up. And like, he is so hard to match up with because he plays so much backyard ball and there's so much patience in the pocket, and there's so much I'm willing to scramble. He's not going to take layups that he should take consistently, and you're going, why don't you take that? And then he hits Restrepo for 50. Like,
right.
He just does so many things that breaks so many rules. But, you know, yes, you're right, still a good season, but, man, what could have been for Miami if they could have done something defensively this
and
year?
Tip of the cap, by the way, of Iowa State. Three teams now in the Big 12, 11 wins, then BYU and Arizona State, who we're about to talk about here in a little bit. So let's get to the games that everybody cares about. College football playoff quarterfinals.
Yep, we got them, man. Fiesta, Peach, and then we go Rose with the cool matchup of Big 10 versus Pac-12 original, and then the Sugar Bowl. So starting with Fiesta with Boise, Penn State, and I think you go – Ashton Jeanty, he's pretty good. You're probably going to start there. Penn State, I can promise you, have started there, remain there, and then again. And how do I stop this guy who is, I mean, he's 180-something yards from getting to Barry Sanders, right? Like, no, 131. 132 yards shy of breaking Barry Sanders' all-time record, which Barry did
games played
games, but
and yeah. bowl records, all that sort of stuff didn't count. But yeah, yeah, it's definitely which team can slow down. I don't think either team's stopping the other team's best player, but which team can slow down the other team's best player? It's Jenty and Warren. And can you at least make them work for everything? Because like even one of the things I went back and did was watch the Oregon game with Boise State to see
I love the fact that you just said that you went back and watched that game. Cause I went back and watched that. I watched the Ohio State, Oregon. I'm like,
I did that too.
Fantastic. Continue. I digress.
I think Boise can match up physically because Jenty makes you right as an offensive lineman. They don't have to consistently move people. He just, all right, you guys get a little, you get a win here, you get a win there, or you get a stalemate there. I'm going to make a move. And then the second move, that's what, like watching him against Oregon was, he makes the offensive line right so consistently. And yeah. that's what, to me, gives them a chance against Penn State, even though they are an 11.5 point underdog.
Well, and here's the problem with that. First of all, double digit underdogs are 0-9 in college football playoff era. Never has anyone won. They've covered the spread a couple times, but never won. Here's the thing, Brent. Here's what's really going to be frustrating for Boise fans. Jenty can still get his, and they could still lose by 14. They could still lose by 21. And that's what's a weird thing to say. He is really, really good. Gracie, stop barking. I'll come slap you. he's really good. He's elite. I tell you what, Brent, a lot of people are going to find out how good he is because they don't know. They haven't watched. And I think they've seen highlights, but they haven't really watched Aston Jenty and his feel for people near his legs and his ability to break tackles. By the way, he's got 1,900 yards after contact this season. So Moses ain't parting the Red Sea for him. Like, he is making this crap happen on his own so much. Like you say, there's not a lot of variety to their offense. It's not a lot of – there's not trickeration. He's just really, really good. And listen, Penn State's got some dudes in the trenches that are really, really good. But here's one thing I found fascinating when I was doing some research on this game. Last two games, Penn State's one of the worst in the country at missed tackles. Like getting guys on the ground. I think they have 15 missed tackles in the last two games. That's what Jenty does. That's how he gets you another first down. Like, he's got 570-plus yard runs this season. Like, that's not – the whole college football doesn't have that. That's how good he is, you know? And so I just think he has a chance to be all-time special. To me, Brent, everybody knows about Jenty. Everybody's curious how he will do. To me, one of the biggest questions I wrote down, though, is who steps up outside of Jenty? That's the question. Who's going to make Penn State pay? Who else do we need to know before this game starts that you're watching and you go, oh, yeah, I know that guy?
Well, rewatching the Oregon game, it's like, okay, how did they hang around in that game? And how do they consistently score? Early down, first down play action. And Maddox Mattson hit throws and had massive space to make throws when they run play action on first down. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in this game. And he, as long as he doesn't, you know, put the ball in harm's way, which he does a good job of not doing for the most part.
Yep.
That's what you blend the two and you can hang around and you can get this game into the fourth quarter kind of thing.
And that sounds great, but here's the problem. I 1,000%, 1,000,000% agree. And it's so easy to say, but the problem was when you throw an incompletion on first and 10, it's second and 10. Now you're screwed. And that's the delicate balance as a play caller. I saw you as play caller when we were little. Like, you don't want to get out of that, right? Like, it puts you in a bind, but you have to do it. And because there's going to be so much capital up in the box, so many people thinking that you're going to run the football, Jenty's going to run it. Here's another reason why that's so huge, Brent. If Boise State gets in predictable passing situations against Penn State, Penn State has the best pass rush in the playoff. Like, if you told me to pick one playoff team with the best pass rush, give me 11 and company. Like, that dude is special. Yeah. They are special. They can get after the quarterback. They will wear Boise's butt out. if that happens. So yes, you have to be able to do that. And I asked you for a name. I agree. Mad Dog's good. 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season. Another thing, he's their second leading rusher. He has some scramble ability in him. That's not a word, by the way. But he has some ability to make plays with his feet. He's not elite. But, yeah, it's just merging two words together. He's not elite. But he's a really good runner. He can get first downs, extend the plays. Matt Lauter at tight end, I really like him, Brent. He's number 85.
85.
Touchdown guy. Like, he's got 6 touchdowns on the season. They're going to look for him. Third downs, touchdowns. I think they run tight end screens. Like, they're going to get him the football. Yep. He's a good job. And then number 9, Cameron Camper, is the other guy. 6'3". He's the guy that's got to win out wide. Penn State is not elite at corner. Not even – I would even classify them as really good. I think they're okay at corner. And I think there are plays to be had. He's a 6'3" guy. At least 5 catches, at least 73 yards in the last 3 games of the season. Like, he's a guy that can win out wide too. So if you're looking for those others that will step up, I think Mad Dog at quarterback, I think Lauter at tight end, and I think Camper at wide receiver are guys to keep an eye on.
Do you think that Boise can slow down Penn State and their running game? And by the way, in terms of tackling grade, team tackling grade for PFF, out of the 130 whatever FBS teams, they're next to last. Boise is. Tyler is Warren good? Is not easy. That's not good. And Tyler Warren is not easy to tackle. He's 115 touches in 14 games. They're going to find a way to get him the football. Can you tackle him? Can you limit their explosives? Now, Boise's pass rush,
really good.
Sort of like has, yes, in terms of competition, but in terms of pressure rates and sack rates. But the thing about both Madsen and Aller, both are some of the best in the country in terms of avoiding sack. Their pressure to sack rate are both right around 10% or a little less. So which QB gets sacked if they get pressured? I mean, I don't know how much Boise slows Penn State. If they do a little bit and they play within the sort of within a one score game, then I think we see a fourth quarter game.
So I know, I like to ask these questions and then we can go back. I like to look at them after the game, but can Boise's pass rush get home? They're second in the nation behind Ole Miss and sacks. Like, they get to the quarterback. Here's another thing that I noticed after watching a couple of Boise games. Brent, they get to the quarterback a lot. They also miss him a lot. Like, it kind of drove me crazy. No, I'm serious. Like, I cheer for defensive linemen. I am a defensive lineman. Like, to get people on the ground, and they consistently get there, get pressure. Aller's really good at that. Like, really good at that. He's a big, huge, strong dude, and he shrugs people off, and he's not like a freak athlete by any stretch. But he does a great job shrugging you off. That's one thing to watch. Boise State's going to get there. Can they get Aller on the ground? Like, he is really good at that. Here's the one thing, too, that blows my mind. And even Penn State fans are going to be like, what? Really? Aller leads the nation in 20-plus yard completions in percentage. Like, his percentage is elite of elite. Like, now his attempts. Yeah. Now, and Brent works for PFF, by the way, so he has all these numbers that are really cool. But when I watch him, Brent, I don't associate him with a great downfield thrower.
Right.
I don't at all. I look at Drew Aller, and when I break his game down, man, and you watch him, he is really good with Ty Warren over the middle of the field. He's going to give the ball to Singleton and Allen, basically his extension of the running game. He's going to throw it to him and say, go tackle him in space. Like, go tackle him in space. I'll get 6. Sometimes I'll break it and I'll get 15. Very conservative. Does not want to put the ball in harm's way. That's what I see when I watch him. And so when you get that kind of number, I'm like, dang, that's really surprising. But can Boise State cover Warren? Because Warren was held in check by SMU, but we talked about the safety matchup for SMU being really, really good. That's not what Boise State is. You watch Boise State, like, they're a too high group. Like, they're gonna play a lot of quarters. So that opens up the middle of the field, those easy access throws, those timing routes. Like, Ty Warren, number 44, best tight end of the country. By the way, one of the best players in the country, period.
Yes.
This has got his name written all over this game. So not only tackling him, Brent, you know, they'll be getting him the ball, which then is an issue because, you know, they had him covered up. SMU did a really good job against him.
All right, so one question and then one pick, or then the pick. How many touches do you think Jenty gets in this game? Does he get 35 touches in this game?
I mean,
because I think that that number is very dependent upon how this game goes. Because if you're down 14, you might not necessarily, as much as you want to run it, might not be.
Well, you know, what's surprising to me is it's surprising to watch him, and I'm kind of curious why they don't throw it to him more, Brent. Like, to get him out of some of those number situations because he's so good at breaking tackles. Like I just said, Allen and Singleton get that all the time. Like, Scataboo gets that all the time. Like, finding ways to screen him, to flare him, like, just to get him the football where it's not 86 guys looking at him in the box, which you get so many times. So I would do that if I was them. I would find ways to get – he has to get touches, man. He's the only one that – truly belongs on that field with those elite athletes. Like, he's the only one that can consistently, I think, make plays. And I think Jenty's going to have success, do really well. But just like the reason Oregon beat him was because of special teams, a punt return, a kick return. Why is that? Because their upper level players are better than yours. And special teams a lot of times comes down to that. I think Penn State is way too much for Boise. I think it's 34-20. I think Jenty will break one. I think they'll keep it pretty close, but I think they're going to have real trouble getting Aller on the ground. And I think Singleton and Allen, what you saw from them against Oregon, perimeter run, like power read, Aller's feet being a part of the reads and a part of the run game. I think it's too much for Boise State. And I like Penn State.
I wrote Penn State as well. I got 30-24, though. I think Boise kind of covers and hangs around more so. I think time is going to be a big element here, and these teams having the extra time to both rest and then prepare. Because Boise, by the way, their offensive line is the healthiest it's been since game one. So, all right, next one.
And a lot of time, Boise, I think, benefits too from the motivation in these bowl games. Like, they've always benefited from,
because they've yet to lose a Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, and playing the Giant, right? Like, playing, but here's the difference in this game too. Usually the Giant was disappointed from not going to a championship game or going to a big bowl. They're both playing for the trophy. Like, they're both playing and fighting for the same thing. Motivation is not the same thing. Penn State stayed healthy. The bye week obviously gets a chance to get healthy, but I think Penn State relatively healthy. So let's go to the Peach Bowl, homie.
New year. The new year, January 1st, Texas, Arizona State kicks off New Year's Day, which to me was always one of the best days of college football to watch when it was every bowl game almost on New Year's Day. That was so much fun. So Texas, at least from an injury standpoint, based on what I've seen recently, Majors, Cam Williams at right tackle, Majors the center, Cam Williams at right tackle. Bond is still questionable. Wisner, everybody kind of looks good to go for them injury-wise in Arizona State. They're pretty well as much healthy as they can be, other than Tyson's injury at receiver. So what do you got?
Who's their best receiver and their best right. was their best playmaker outside of Scataboo, who's done for the season, we think it sure seems like.
So who can run the football in this game? Because both teams want to.
Yeah, and I think this one's going to be closer than the other one. I think this has got a chance to be a pretty decent game. And here's why I say that. Both teams like to run the football, so the game can be quick, right? Like that's a good thing. Like that's a good thing for Arizona State. Shorten the game, long drives, long possessions. They'll go for it on fourth down. They have a running QB, which I think is enormous. And he's going to have to play a big part in the game. And by the way, I mean, absolutely love Sam Levitt's quote. Like, did you see it, Brent?
Ooh, I did not.
Oh, you will be watching it after this. Sam Levitt kind of looking like this, like down a little bit. It was like, you know, people have counted me out. Keep counting me out. I'm going to go prove I'm the better QB in this game. Ooh. And I was like, I like that a lot. Like, you could tell, man, like he's got, He's got that chip on his shoulder.
Bull chip. Yeah, I like it.
And he's obviously had to fight to win that job, you know, over highly ranked kids, and he wasn't supposed to be the guy. And so I do love that about his personality, and I love that he said that. So anyways, I just think the game, both running games, shortened it. You know, Texas did something that no team has ever done in playoff history, Brent, in the last bowl game. Do you know what that is?
Team rushing, total team rushing yards? I don't know.
Two 100-yard backs.
Oh, yes.
Never done that before. Wisner and Blue. We talked about them running outside against Clemson and having success, and boy, did they ever. Like, they destroyed them. Every time Clemson made plays to get back in the game, Wisner did something. Blue did something. Texas is built on the run game. We've been saying that all year long, man. Like, that's who they are. And the offense, quite frankly, Brent, is dink and dunk. Like, this is not a air it out, bombs away offense. Like, run the football.
No Mitchell.
No, keep Quinn in good situations. Helm is probably your best, most consistent weapon, who's a 6'5", 250-pound tight end. Like, I think Texas is okay winning like that because they know they got a great defense that keeps them in every single football game. They know Quinn plays better when he's managing the football game and not being too aggressive, over-aggressive, and not getting pressured. He becomes very mortal when he becomes pressured. How do you protect him? Run the football. Play action off of the run. Texas, I said Penn State had the best pass rush. Texas has the best offensive line in this thing. Like, they got the best dudes up front. I mean, they can run block, they can pass block, and they want to run the football consistently.
And Banks is back healthy. And you know, you talked about the pressure part. That's one of the things that Arizona State is a massive weakness. It's not something that they do get a lot of. I think maybe 25 pressures is most on their team, 5-6 sacks at most. It's just not something they do. But one thing they do is get their hands on footballs and intercept and passes defended. They're in the top 10 in the country.
They have 17 15, picks, don't they?
Yes. And Ewers has thrown a pick in 8 of the 12 games he's played. So can you turn him over, by the way? Because Texas is likely going to turn you over. They've done it in 22 straight games.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big thing.
To me, that's why this has a chance. This has more of a chance to me than Penn State because I've seen Texas play with their food. And when I say that, Texas turnovers, I've seen them keep people in games.
Yep.
Brent, Texas penalties. I've seen them commit pre-snap penalties like crazy and penalties to keep their guys in games. Arizona State isn't a beat themselves type of team. They're plus 14, I think, in the turnover margin, one of the best in the country. Like, they're not going to turn it over. They're going to run the football. That's why I think this has a chance to be pretty good. But I wrote it down, and you just talked about it. Can Arizona State get to the QB? Brent, I don't see a guy that can win consistently.
No.
And if you blitz, I'm not sure how that goes.
Your slot corner, Shamari Simmons for Arizona State, is out for the first half because of the targeting penalty. Montana Warren gets starting spot in the slot, redshirt freshman in the slot for Arizona State. So that's one where if Bond does play, that him attacking the
if I'm new if I'm Texas, corner. I'm saving Bond. Like I'm saving Bond. I'm giving him more time
another
to prepare because he's been playing and he's been getting it rolled up more and more on that ankle. And he's the one dude that's a blur, man. Like, now I will say this. I think Golden's become the deep guy. Mm-hmm. He's become the big play guy and he's done well, but Bond is another level, dude. When you watch Bond run, it's like, is that in like 1.5? Cause that dude is flying. I mean, he's got some burners. So let's talk about Arizona State's offense.
Scataboo.
It's Tyson's gone, their best receiver. Here's the thing I'll say, though, Brent. This offense kind of frustrates me as a defensive guy when I watch it. And I say that because they just do a lot of crap that pisses me off. They do a lot of false pulls, and they screen the piss out of you, by the way. Like, they literally – they run screen on I think, like 25% of their plays. Like, one out of every four plays feels like a screen. And do your numbers, Brent. You're the numbers guy. Like, it literally feels like I'm watching it. I'm like, And here's why it's good, because we talked about Allen and we talked about Singleton. They do it with Scadaboo so well. They get him. They get him out wide, and corners and outside linebackers and safeties are like, oh my God, do I have to tackle that big? I mean, do I have to do that? Like, that dude is big and he breaks tackles, and he's forced, you know, the most missed tackles, you know, obviously in college football. He's been outside of Ginty, because everybody's outside of Ginty. So I just think the screen game pisses me off. The false pulls and tunnel screens and slip screens, and they just wide receiver screens and the bubbles. Like, they just do so much of that that I don't think they're going to beat Texas with a downfield passing game. But the death by a thousand cuts, the ball coming out, like, that's how they've won. And you saw Clemson get the ball out pretty quick and have some success. So that's why their offense annoys me. You got numbers for that, homie, while we were talking?
He was 21% screens. Love it.
See, it literally feels like that, dude. It feels like that when you watch, like, one out of every four plays is a flipping screen.
Which, by the way, you think about them with him as a starter. They haven't lost since September. They only lost once with Levitt as the starter. Can he get over 50 yards rushing? I think he has to have over 50 yards rushing as a compliment to Scadaboo for them to hang around, take care of the football. Like you said, it's not something – it's something they do very well, but Texas, obviously, the way they play defense, they force you sometimes to make, you know, the secondary that they have with Barron and the safety. So
– tackle so well, for sure.
I think this is a 10-point-ish game as well. Like,
I have it as
covering,
as well.
but not winning. So Texas to me goes, I got 31-20.
Oh, I got 31-21. Pretty close there.
By the way, we don't compare. We 100% don't compare notes on this. This is
no, but I think the biggest thing was Tyson. Tyson being out. Now listen, Stovall stepped up and had a good day, and Guillory had two TDs in the championship game. I think he had three all year. So like, they stepped up, but Dillingham schemes it, man. I mean, he did it Oregon. He does now. He does such a great job with eye manipulation, and I think because of that they hang around. But Texas's talent and their ability to just line up and run the football, Arizona State has the better back, but Texas has the better offensive line that can pave holes and get those guys to the second level where they can make plays. So looks like we both got Texas.
Yep. Now we get the Rose. Like you said, old school Pac-12, Big Ten, but now is a rematch of an earlier Big Ten game that was likely one of the best games of the season. Ohio State favored by 2.5 points against Oregon. And like you said, I also went back and rewatched that game because I wanted to see what's going to be different. What's sustainable from game one to game two.
So what's going to be different? I got some answers.
Well, obviously, OSU's offensive line is a little bit different with Simmons completely gone and then center gone as well. And a lot of
Simmons got lost in that game.
Right. But a lot of the early success, a lot of Henderson's early runs and early success were running behind Simmons. So that, I think that's one difference. So you got a minus there and you got a plus Jordan Burch for Oregon, who didn't play in the original game. So I think that's, and then the other part is just the big plays in that game, both teams. Like Gabriel down the field over 20 yard plus throws, 4-4, 177 and a touchdown, over 10 yards, 8 of 10, 243 in that game. Like, is that a regress to the mean?
17 big plays in that game. Seven lead changes, Brent. Three lead changes in the fourth quarter. A new rule instituted after the game because Dan Lanning pimp slapped him and changed and completely used the rule book in his advantage. It was 32-31 Oregon at home. They played at home. Like, obviously that's a big deal. And, you know, listen, that's good points. McLaughlin out at center. Obviously Simmons out at tackle. And, but I think the boulder sized chip that's been placed on Ohio State's shoulder surely showed itself. Like, they were pissed against Tennessee. They were aggressive, and That's what I'm looking for, man. But you're right. Like, it was the first quarter rushing, and that's it. After that, Judkins had his worst game, Brent, of his career, ever.
10 for 23 or something like that.
Forever, in the history of his career. And after, from the second quarter on, like, the run game for Ohio State was nullified. Okay, here's something that I saw that's different. Watching the Tennessee game, Brent, watching the old Oregon game, Oregon-Ohio State game, you know what I saw with Numero Cuatro for Ohio State? Ohio State lined up number four at the X position. Didn't move him very much. You know where I saw number four against Tennessee? In the slot.
A little bit and everywhere.
Why do you move him around and move him in the slot? You move him in the slot, you can't get hands on him. You move him in the slot, he gets matched up a lot of times on safeties, on linebackers. Really, really smart decision. You move him in the slot, you can put Abuka out wide. You can put those two on the same side. Now you got your best two players on the field. Those are the, Ohio State's best two players are receivers. Like, that's those are their best two guys. They need to be featured. Tennessee game, they featured them, and it was fantastic. It was unbelievable offense, aggressive offense, hammer down offense. But that's how you use your best two players. And they're not going to line up and pound Oregon. That's not Ohio State. I don't know that they're going to line up and pound anybody the rest of the way. I think they need to be creative with their run game. They need to incorporate their QB some. They need to get on the edges, on the perimeter. But another thing I saw in the Tennessee game, motion to quads, bubble. Like, those are run plays. Take those easy plays and then do what Will Howard does best. Dude throws outside the numbers elite. Like, that dude, he is so good outside the numbers. It's actually kind of shocking how bad he is inside compared to outside. Like, he's just got a comfort level from his days at Kansas State of turning and ripping that thing out wide. And your best two players are out wide. So, Ohio State, like, stick to that philosophy. That is your philosophy that can go win.
It's amazing when you think about just what Oregon is going to have to do to win the national championship. Beat as the one seed, play as an underdog, potentially go play in Texas against Texas. And then who knows what, maybe rematch the Big Ten championship game or Georgia, whomever, Notre Dame, in the championship game. Just and amazing.
Dan Lanning says, bring that shiznick on. We had him on the show last week or whenever it was. I don't know what the weeks went together. 2 weeks ago. But, like, yeah, I mean, just he doesn't care. And I just watch those Oregon social media. Like, he's got an unbelievable way of talking to guys and rallying and getting people motivated. So as much as I think Ohio State has that chip, I think Dan will place that chip. I think he's in the same elk as Kirby and Nick and those guys, and he'll get them ready. Brent, another observation from watching the game again. Ohio State has owned the line of scrimmage defensively in every game I've watched, every game. Every game I watched this season, they own the line of scrimmage except for the Oregon game. And you got 33, Sawyer on one side, and you got JT on the other side, 44. Yep. Those guys consistently wreak havoc, get in the backfield, get deflections, get to the quarterback, put pressure, get tackles for a loss. They did absolutely nothing in that game, Brent. Like, they were obsolete. They straight took the edges away from them. I mean, ran away from Sawyer a lot, actually. But they were a non-factor, which is mind-blowing. Because the defensive ends, the edges for Ohio State, like, the safety position is the strongest to me on the field. The defensive ends are the next best spot. Like, both those guys are going to get drafted. They're both Sunday
really
players.
Good players.
Best Oregon players on their O-line is at tackles. It's their two tackles. It's not their interior. And they really did a great job of winning that matchup. Can they win it again? Because Michigan won that matchup too. But Sawyer and Tia Malumunu, TJ, does an unbelievable job of making pressure, of making things happen. Like, they've got to get back to this game, and they've got to their fingerprints have to be on this game. They have to be a big part of it because they weren't in the first go round.
Well, we saw one rematch in the SEC championship game, and the team that won again. So, do you think that the team that won game one gets this one, or are you going with the favorite?
And that sounds weird to say that the favorite, because this is 1 versus 8. Well, again, the system sucks. Not the system, the rankings.
Seating.
Stupid. Like, to go back and look that Boise State's number 3, Penn State's number 6, Arizona State's number 4, Texas is number 5. I'm like, oh, that drives me nuts. Anyways, but they're double-digit favorites. Yes. Man, I keep saying after watching the Ohio State game, like, who's going to beat that team? I mean, that team was so special and was so good and used their strengths. But what you said was important to me. Oregon didn't have Birch, and he's elite. Like, he's really good. They got a bunch of big boys up front, man. Between Birch, Uiagalelei, and Harmon, and Caldwell, like, you're talking about big, physical, strong suckers. Like, I find it very hard to believe that Ohio State can win that matchup up front. So, but I like Ohio State. I like Oregon's corner. I think Muhammad's really, really good. Yeah. I think he's good. I think Reed's good. Like, I think they're pretty good out there. Gabriel, to me, the trump card, how good he was in that game. Does Ohio State play as much single high? Because they got roasted at corner. Yes. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed out there. And Burke, I wrote, Burke had a bad day last time. Like,
rough outing.
I wrote that down again after watching the game. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, he's probably still having nightmares from Evan Stewart, because, like, straight running by them, making big plays. I think Ohio State has to play smarter and keep them in front more, not as aggressive, not trust their corners as much. Their safeties are the best combo they have. So, you know, maybe get them involved more, but I can't do it, Brent. I can't go against Oregon. I'm probably going to regret it, but I got 31-27 Ducks. I think it's Stewart. I think it's Tez. But Sadiq's been playing really well lately, who's a wild card and a freak. But the run game they got going last time was really good, man. And they had a lot of success. And they could have played better, I think, Oregon last time. You know, aside, they had a fourth down. And I don't know. I'm going with the Ducks, man.
That's what I got. I got Oregon.
Do you really?
I think there's going to be a little more defense in this game than the last game. Oregon 27.
I thought you'd go Ohio State. I'm
not recency bias guy. Oregon 27, Ohio State 24. Dan Lanning with a late fourth down aggressive call.
Wins it?
That somehow gets them into, like, field goal range or keeps the game, you know, keeps the ball, something like that. His fourth down aggression late and gets it for him. So I will say the ultimate deciding number in that game to me is turnovers, because I think both teams are so even that's while it usually is a deciding factor in every game, the evenness and the quality of these two teams, it's a tipping point.
And the trust to me too, I trust Gabriel. I really do, man. Like, I trust his decision making. I trust Will Howard too. But when Will Howard's been pressured, he's really struggled. Obviously, Gabriel doesn't get pressured as much because I think that thing comes out so daggum fast. And
yes, it does.
I think the Ducks are destined. I wrote down Sadiq as an X factor. I wrote down Tate as an X factor for Ohio State. He's another guy that's won a lot at receiver outside of a Buka. But Sawyer and JT, man, those two guys, they're going to have to play better. They did not play great in the first matchup. And they're going to have to step it up.
No matter what, though, I think this is a national championship type game. Like, if these two teams were playing for national championship.
Why can't you just say it with your chest, Brent, that whoever wins this is going to win a natty?
Because I don't know that I agree with that. So
if you ask me right now, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think whoever wins this game.
Betting, yes. But I don't know. We'll see. We got one left. An 8:45 p.m. start. The Sugar. Notre Dame and Georgia. Meeting for the fourth time. And now we have Carson Beck definitively gone in terms of injury with the elbow, as well as going pro. Yep. And Gunnar Stockton gets to be put in the same class as Mr. Jake Fromm, who's struggled with death by sled before. First start in their career against Notre Dame. So both of those guys.
How about that? Hey, guys, I would like just for you to – hey, first start, no big deal, college football playoff. everything on the line, biggest pressure moment there is. Oh, and hey, by the way, against an elite defense, a really good defense, physical defensive line, great pass rush, great secondary, great defensive coordinator. Have fun, bud. Go at it. Like, this is a tough spot, man. Like, this is a real tough spot. And I think Gunner is made of all the right stuff. I do. I think he's tough. I think he's physical. You saw enough in a short time against Texas to believe in him. Difference in Carson Beck versus Gunner Stockton. I'll give you a quick picture illustration, Brent. One drives a 1983 Ford. The other one drives a Lamborghini.
Yeah. Like, I knew you were going there.
Contrast of style from one direction all the way to the other. I think you saw the best version of Georgia this season with the run game, with the receivers catching the football, with Gunner Stockton at the helm. Also saw a horrible mistake that should have cost him the football game, that could have cost him the football game if not for Mr. Lucky. Mr. Lucky, tight end, just absolutely – Lawson Lucky saved Georgia's seed and having a bye by making an unbelievable tackle in that football game. But I just think it's a tough spot. And by the way, if you want to add to that, the good defense you're playing, oh, by the way, your running game has been average this year, and your receivers lead the nation in drops. So go ahead, Brent. Tell me how that Gunner and that offense is just going to go wild and tear up Notre Dame.
And guess who likes to disguise and bring blitzes in very exotic ways to the point where they get free rushers consistently? And guess who plays more man-to-man than any team in the country, more cover one than any team in the country? That'd be Notre Dame. So you better be ready to be blitzed, because in the SEC championship game, he was 4 of 6 for 18 yards with the interception against the blitz. 2 interceptions in 18 career dropbacks against the blitz. Be ready to be blitzed and be ready. Like, you better have your man-to-man beaters as an offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, because that's what, like, Notre Dame does that to the nth degree. Now, one thing that is a big deal in this game that happened in the last, you know, Georgia obviously lost their quarterback. Notre Dame, not necessarily the quarterback of their defense, but like maybe one of the best, there's probably second best player on defense in Riley Mills, defensive lineman, out for the rest of the playoffs. That's it. You know, they get Howard Cross back and then they lose him. That's a big deal for Notre Dame's defensive line. You got a guy who's, you know, played maybe a little over 100 snaps and Rubio coming in for him. I think you're going to see more of Bryce Young, the freshman, along the defensive line for Notre Dame. But yes,
a good looking species, by the way.
Yes.
Like, he had a long arm in that Indiana game. He's 6'7". Like, that dude is a species. Like, he looked like he's going to be a dude in the future too. Like you said, he's a freshman. Jack Kaiser at linebacker is a dude. They've got, yeah, I mean, Xavier, I think watching the game, Xavier Watts, number 0, is probably the most fun guy, one of the more fun guys to watch in all of college football. Like, plays middle of the field safety and plays with ridiculous eyes. Like, just sees it, breaks on it, goes and gets it. And it's interesting to me with the I don't know how I feel about the blitz thing, Brent, because again, when you blitz a lot against a young quarterback, it also allows them to read it very easily. And there's two things that you have to be able to do against the blitz, Brent, and that is attack man-to-man coverage, make them pay by throwing the deep ball. I think Gunner will throw the deep ball better than Carson Beck. I don't think he's better than Carson Beck. I think he'll have a chance to throw the deep ball better. Carson Beck struggled with the deep ball, like, really struggled. Just wasn't something he was great at. And another thing too, a running quarterback against man-to-man. Everybody's turning and covering wide receivers. Your back is turned to the quarterback. I think Gunner Stockton is good at that. Like, I think he's a really good athlete. I think he's going to break tackles. I think he's really, really tough. Now, wide receivers have to win against man-to-man. And you said Bobo scheme them up. Like, can you bunch people up? Can you get free releases? Can you get those picks that you try to get in the pick plays? Can you dial up some misdirection and some ways to run away from guys instead of just with crossers instead of always deep balls, right? Like, can you get some of that stuff? But, man, it's a lot to ask. But here's one thing we haven't talked about yet that I think is interesting. I think Notre Dame and Georgia are very similar. Like, I think they both want to run the football. I think they both are really physical. I think they both play a fun defensive brand of football. But I do think one's a lot more talented than the other. And I say that Georgia's got three first-round picks. Like, that's going to happen, like, in the draft coming up. And, you know, can Notre Dame out Georgia? You know, this is how Georgia's won for years, is physicalness, toughness, defense. Kirby Smart's pretty dang good. And devising plans to stop Leonard and Love and Price. And so let's go to that side of the football, too. I think that's where, man, are you going to line up and pound Georgia? Like, can they out Georgia is my question.
It's funny that I laughed when you said that, because I wrote that down, is that I think each offense is basically going to look borderline the same in terms of QBs who are one read, maybe second read. If not, I'm pulling it down, because that's how Leonard plays. But the running quarterback element and the the question for Georgia's defense is, can they tackle to the point of limiting the explosive plays? Love, 56% of his yards are on breakaway runs, like 15-plus yard runs. Price, 64% of his. That's number one and number six in the FBS. Those guys get house call, big-time plays more than anyone, the combination two of them. And then you add the running quarterback element.
Georgia doesn't allow that very often. They don't give up
typically
a lot.
Typically not, but in some of these games, like UMass, Georgia Tech, some other games, when you look back at their season, a lot of over pursuit or the backside, okay, I'm going to go take an angle and then the ball comes backside. That's how a lot of those runs happened. If, you know, if Love gets space,
can we talk about him? Because I don't know that the world talks about Jeremiah Love enough. Like, I'm so used to Notre Dame backs that are just oof, hit you in the mouth, estimate type guys, physical, downhill. Like, he showed you in Indiana, like, just give him a crease and that dude will house call it. A band is going to be playing. Like, he's just, man, this dude is so fast. Like, he's so quick, you know, erases angles, makes those big plays. Dude, turn on the Georgia Tech tape. And if I'm Notre Dame, I'm just copy and paste. Riley Leonard's a better athlete than Haynes King.
Yes.
He is. The system isn't the same, though. And the play caller isn't the same. So it's not going to be the same. It's not as much.
You shift in motion. Right.
No, it's not as much, which, you know, is something that Georgia, Nick Saban, you know, in the past with Kirby and his defenses, you know, really, really struggle with. But if Notre Dame wins this, it's big plays by Leonard. It's big plays by Love.
Forcing turnovers, Leonard, on Gunner.
Yeah, and the big question mark, obviously, is Gunner. But interesting watching Leonard, too, man, because he's a guy that I think, too, I don't – you just said it. You know, one read, maybe two, gone. I don't know that he really sees coverage really well. And I'm not saying he's not good, Notre Dame fans. He is good. He's a really good runner. And I think he's going to make those plays that are there and get the ball out quick. But then his head's going to come down. And I don't know that he sees things great. And when you really watch him struggle the most is when you bring a couple guys, you bring three guys, you bring four guys, you play zone coverage behind him and you have zone eyes and they look at him. And when he scrambles, they can get in the pass rush. If that makes sense to people, like they aren't looking at their guys chasing them, trailing them. They're looking at the quarterback. It takes away the dink and dunk. And he likes to dink and dunk. He's not a – now, against Indiana, they made some big shots down the field, a few. But, like, that's the type of offense. And I just – man, I really find it hard to be that offense can beat Kirby Smart and his defense. That's a struggle to me. I feel like you got to have guys out wide that can make plays. He is a running quarterback. He's not a – great elite, like shifty guy, but he is a physical tough. He's every bit as good as Haynes King. Like, he's an athlete like Haynes King for sure. And Haynes King had his way with him. But I just, the Notre Dame offense versus the Georgia defense, I think this is low scoring. I think because Gunner is still going to be getting reps and getting in this mix, I got 2017. And I know you're laughing because you're looking at your page and it's probably pretty similar, but I got Georgia. I think I trust them. I think it's going to be close. I've been talking about Notre Dame for weeks, Brent, for since the halfway through the season, how much I think they're a great team. I think they're really, really dang good. Like, I think the running back is one of the best that the people don't talk about. I think Leonard's an elite competitor, physical, tough. I think this defense is physical. I just think that I think they're a version, a little bit less talented version of Georgia. And I just don't know that they're there yet.
Interacting with both fan bases, given that I write for a Georgia-based website and have done some previews of Notre Dame things, I think both narratives that the fan bases are going to be right, where, hey, I'm the Notre Dame fan that haven't, you know, the running quarterback element, can't stop the running game, backup quarterback. I think it's going to be right. Georgia, that fans, hey, Notre Dame hasn't played anybody like us in terms of talent and top to bottom talent, that sort of stuff. I think that's going to be right. And when there's two even teams like this, what does it often come down to? Kicking game. And I think Georgia's just better right there. I think it's one of missed field goal. I wrote 20-16.
Isn't Notre Dame like 6-for-12? That's off my memory.
Jeter's 8-for-8 of 15.
Okay, I knew it was almost the last game. I knew it was right at 50%.
Because special teams are huge in this game. Notre Dame runs fake punts galore and fake, you know, the kick return stuff. They've done those things.
And Thorson's out for Georgia, so that's a big deal.
Georgia has a new punter and all that. You know, but the kicking game is going to matter big time in this game when the defenses are like they are and QBs. I think it's the time element for Georgia. I think their defense is as healthy as it's been all season, by the way. Not even as healthy as it was in the opening game because some of those guys in the opening game were dinged up. So that to me is – in the better kicking game, that's what wins it in the end. I got Georgia 20, Notre Dame 16.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that's different about this Notre Dame than years past, they're really young up front, and they're not as dominant up front. They're young. They had six starts coming into this season, so they played a multitude of groups up front too with injuries. So they're not as experienced. Man, Georgia's got so much experience up front, and all those guys being healthy, I trust Georgia to win this football game. And I think a lot of people probably are going to say that. Like, I'm interested to see nationally what people think, because I think some people are going to say,
well, I've seen a lot of Notre Dame picks. I will say that.
Have you?
I do. Yes. A lot of people who cover the sport nationally have picked Notre Dame. And by the way, if we come in here the day after that night, whatever, and, you know, Gunner threw three picks and Notre Dame won 24-13. Would I be shocked? No, I wouldn't be shocked.
No, Notre Dame's
good. But I got Georgia.
This is the best Notre Dame team I've seen. I think they're. I think they're really, really good, and I think they know who they are. And they beat. I think they beat the last eight ranked opponents they've played. Like they've beaten some. Mm-hmm. They've had some success now stringing it together. So, Fiesta Peach Sugar Rose. All I think will be good games. A lot of big question marks, and a lot of fun things to talk about. So, I guess make your New Year's resolutions. You got a New Year's resolution, Brent?
Well, I was actually I actually wrote that down.
Did you really?
Well, two things I wrote down. One is best Christmas gift you got or gave. I put the gave in there because we do maybe more giving than getting.
It's
like a bad thing.
So, like, I'm basically getting to the point, Brent, where I just want to make my own food. Like, I just – all of my food. I don't eat that much variety. So, my wife got me one of those, like, crock-pot rice makers. So, it makes two cups of rice. I dump rice in, dump water in, and flip the button and put the lid on, and I got two cups of rice.
Idiot-proof food for you, basically.
Yeah, that's two of my meals a day. My dried mush oats go in there, and I just mix in – almond milk and then put some blueberries in it. So like now I'm going to get a Greek yogurt maker and I'm good to go. I mean, I'm peachy. So
I mean, that was mine. What about you? That was a big one. Me was more of an experience. We've been here for 20 years now. And when we first came to Georgia, we went to the Fox and watched Alicia Keys and John Legend opened up for Alicia Keys. So this year, a week before, a little bit before Christmas, we went and watched John Legend. He did a Christmas show in the Fox. So
he's
a little bit of full circle, but it was an awesome show. Christmas music.
Christmas CD is fantastic, by the way.
Yep. So that was a lot of fun.
Was that just you and the wifey, or was that with the family?
Yes, that was a date. That was date night. No, that was
100%
date night. So that was a good night.
Deanna, love that.
Yes, all right. Very much so. But it was fun. All right, but that was the last thing I wrote down was, if you had a New Year's resolution for college football, what would your New Year's resolution for college football be?
Oh, you trying to piss me off to end the show? Literally, you're trying to get me to rage to end the show. Like,
no, that's just a thought. You could be thoughtful. You could be very calm and deliver just one thing.
Maybe targeting sucks. Fix targeting. Like, that is the easiest thing to me known to man. Like, targeting, and we've seen the playoffs already, right? Like, we've seen
seeding in the playoffs.
There
you go. Yep.
That's exactly what I was going to, because I couldn't stand when I was writing down number 8 Ohio State versus number 1 Oregon, number 3 Boise versus Penn State. Like, I don't like that, but the targeting has to change. Like, that has to go away. We have to listen. I've said this before too, and you did this on purpose, I swear. Dan Lanning got the rule changed in less than a week. Less than a week, they changed that rule. There's no reason we can't do the, like, you get two targetings. Targeting one, targeting two, you're kicked out of the game. Like, this is, and we got new subscribers and new people that listen because we've grown a ton. Thank y'all very much. For y'all that have heard me say this, it's the truth, though, man. It ruins the game. You can't ask these kids to work that hard to get kicked out. The Arizona State kid you were talking about, they get kicked out of a game and sit out a half of a playoff because of one hit. Like, make it one, make it two, like, make that very clearly definable. The reseeding I'm good with too, but transfer portal too. I need some guardrails.
That's some scheduling thing, I think, with that. Mine would be, I think kids who sign out of high school should stay for 2 years. I think they should go through a season, a spring, and then a season before they could do the portal. I don't like the play 1 year and just constant movement. So, but that would be my one. But
contracts are coming to college football, which is going to be cool, that are binding on both sides. So you'll see more of that. But man, I remember as a kid in high school who went 45 minutes down the road to college being homesick and wanting to come home. And if you don't give something a chance, you never know how it'll turn out. And I'm thankful I gave it a chance. Like, learn where all the things are, learn how to meet people, learn, you know, get to know all the surrounding areas and what type of people you're around. And I think you'll have more of a chance to be successful and stick around, and you'll have more people that will stay. Like, those guys won't stay. Those guys won't leave as much. And I know money is a big part of this, but we just have to find a way to get this figured out with guardrails for the transfer portal, because these coaches, you know, recruiting their own rosters and kids leaving halftime of bowl games, which is nuts, and all the things that are going on around the sport. It's hard to manage. The good thing is, man, the game freaking awesome. Like, and all of y'all that complained about NIL and complained about transfer portal, you still watch, because when your band plays, you watch. And when you got a team to cheer against that you've been cheering against for years, come on, you cheer against them. And the characters always change and the players change. And now they're changing uniforms faster than ever, but we still flip and love it. And we're still going to watch it. And it's the greatest sport alive. I mean, it really, really is. Like, you watch some of these other sports, it ain't even close to the pageantry, the fun, the enthusiasm, the home field advantage in the playoffs. Like, I want that all the way through. If you want to talk about another change, I want that in the second round. Like, that would be fantastic to get another round to watch that, because it's really, really cool. But all right, we're over an hour, so I'm sure you guys are falling asleep as we speak. But thankful for y'all, man, for listening to us this year. And we know we started, when the season started, and slowly built and grew, and we appreciate all you guys listening and subscribing. And we love football, and we're going to keep sharing it, and we'll keep watching these games, and we'll pop on from time to time over the next couple days, talk about some of these games, the breakdown. So for Brent Rollins, I'm David Pollack, and we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you soon.